I'm turning the recorder on. We are recording. I'm on here today with on the Zeph Report with Govinda, and Govinda is got a project about ending human slavery, human trafficking, by the year 2020. And so I think it's really a fantastic project, and it's about time somebody stepped up to the plate. I know there are groups working to end human trafficking, but I mean, you're going about it in a very special way. So welcome, Govinda. Tell us about Human 2020.
Hey, Zeph. Hey, everybody out there. Yeah, so basically what is going on right now is, a little bit of the background, I guess, of Human 2020 and of the initiative that's there. So short version is, towards the end of 2014, there was sort of a meeting of a bunch of the different spiritual leaders around the world. They all got together, and they said there was one thing that they could all agree on, and that was that human trafficking was an affront to all mankind, an abomination of God. It needed to end. And all these people that were out there, they basically made this commitment through whatever background they were, whether it was, you know, the Buddhist monks, you know, the imam, the pope, the, you know, just all of them, they just got together and said the one thing that they made a pledge to do was to see trafficking end by the year 2020. So for what Human 2020 is what we've done is, now this, there's a lot that needs to be done in this particular area, because the world of trafficking, the business of trafficking, has grown exponentially over the last decade. And so what our initiative is something that runs parallel to that global commitment that's already been made by these other people that are out there to see this end. So ours is civil society, business community, individuals, and basically for us what we can do to be part of that solution. And sometimes it's the simplest thing that an individual can do that makes a big difference in the overall issue of trafficking in this world. So right now, the Human 2020 initiative is, in part, is us all taking individual responsibility for the piece that we can do, and stepping up to that plate and doing that part that we can. Now, each one of us has a different skill, has a different ability, has something else that has been put in our heart, and we have to be true to that in also how we can help make an impact. So the Human 2020 initiative is along those lines, and what's amazing to me is how, as we've just gotten started, how many people have rallied to us in just a short period already, and just the different things that are coming up already very quickly that are going to make an impact. One, help educate people about the issue, and then activate people into the piece that they can do, the role that they can play. Because I think, too, what we're also doing is we're moving with the heart of God. Now, this is me speaking as one follows Christ, me speaking as one that just walks with the Father, you know, in the way that he's revealed and shown to me, is that part of what this is also moving with his heart and moving with kind of the shift that's taking place too as well overall, which is we're making this transition from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. And I see this being something that is running timely with that.
You and I are in such sync, it's unbelievable. Well, I hope this is loud enough here. Check! Okay, yeah. But about this shift, and it seems that people are experiencing this, it doesn't matter what background they have, there seems to be this, you know, there's always the most pain and most darkness before the dawn, it seems. And so we're right kind of before the dawn of where, you know, oh, now Dasha, please. We'll need some help there, Trish. We're right there before the dawn of like a different age, you know, and I mean, whether you're an astrologer, whether you're a Buddhist, whether you're a Hindu thinking it's the end of the age of Kali, whether you're a Bible believer that believes this is the end time, and then there, we don't know what comes exactly afterwards, but this is ending. And, you know, along with that, it seems that all this light is blasting. In other words, I don't find it strange at all that this awareness of human trafficking is going on as a lot of light is being shown into these secret societies or into these secret groups that are doing, they're not secret anymore. They're kind of all out in the open. We also have names of people that are doing human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of all that blasting out of the light on everything, shining in the dark places, it seems to me that a lot of this bad, evil stuff will be eradicated because it can't operate unless it's darkness.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so there's definitely that element to that is kind of the macro environment behind the specific thing that we're doing. Because one thing, you know, I've kind of learned from my own experiences is you want to flow with God. I mean, you want to flow with what He's doing and just be, you know, be in step with Him. Because, I mean, He's the vine, we're the branch.
Yeah.
Branches. He's,
John 15.
You know, we're part of the body. And, yeah, and so often what happens is that what I've seen is people kind of get this entire agenda in their head, and they don't really flow with what God's doing. But when you're in flow with Him, it's amazing the things that happen, the things that come up, the things that take place. And we also recognize it's not us, it's God doing it through us, and we're just to make ourselves available. So, I mean, a bigger part of all of what goes on and all of what takes place is us being in step with the Father. Mm-hmm. And just you know, that's I believe that's part of what Jesus even said, you know, I only do what I see the Father doing. See, He gave us an indicator there, sort of like, for us, once we're, you know, engrafted into that vine, which is Christ, then from that point forward, it's like, okay, Lord, what now? And so that's part of, I think, what we've got here is kind of this next piece. So I believe, you know, I mean, along the same lines of what God said, which was, you know, there's nothing that's going to be hidden, that's going to be kept secret. It's all going to be made known. And I believe we're already in the middle of that, and it's just going to get louder and brighter. And in the midst of that, too, it's just going to keep going. So, you know, right now, I mean, you know, sometimes, too, I know, like, I've seen, you know, a lot of things about, like, government surveillance and all the rest of that. Hey, listen, everybody's going to know everything about everyone. You know, it's not going to be, you know, certain sets of people over here collecting this piece about that person. And that. No, it's all of our lives are going to be out there and open, and just it's just going to be blasted all over the place. And, you know, we just have to be who we are.
Well, what's amazing is how you sound like, I sound like your podcast, you sound like mine. We're speaking with one voice. So that's what's so cool.
Well, you know, it's amazing to me, of just like, I mean, there's a few people out there that I, you know, I respect, you know, for just people that I know that God has a clear stream with, and you're definitely one of those voices out there. But it's amazing to me how just when I take those that time to stop and check in, how just it's God just speaking the same thing to His body. And so, you know, I mean even for us, you know, when I put something out, I don't unless God nudges me to do something, I'm a reluctant person to want to toss myself out there, because I only want to speak when He's involved in it. Otherwise, there's plenty of other things to do. And, you know, I mean, unless the builder builds the house, you know, we're working in vain. So unless God is involved in something, there really is no reason to be doing it.
Govinda, so now you've established this site, Human 2020, human2020.com, and basically you also have some events coming up.
And yeah, we do.
There's a chance for artists to get involved, and we have a lot of artists that listen in. So I'd like to know about some of those opportunities for people to get involved, and maybe even right now being inspired by the website and by the project, coming up with new artworks, whether they be fine art, whether they
be
performance art, whether it be, we have, at least I know one performance artist, if I can call her that, that should be able to contribute something, video artists that can do video that could be projected, musicians that can do songs that can be played, you know. And I'm curious about what there is available for artists to get involved in this project.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So here's one piece of this. So art in and of itself is a powerful, powerful way of raising consciousness around anything. It's a powerful way, throughout time of helping people to understand even sometimes something that may be very complex in a very, very brief moment. So right now, I'll give you in Austin. In Austin, Texas, on the 18th of June, we have at one of the premier studios in Austin, we've got 16 professional artists already committed. There's probably going to even be more. And they're doing all of them are putting together pieces of art around the issue of trafficking and to help raise the awareness of people that are here in the city. And so I'll give you an example of like one of the lead artists, some of the other work she's done. One other piece she did recently was around the today in America there's 22 veterans that take their lives every day. So she just recently did a piece that has 8,030 rolls that are read by hand, and they're put together in this beautiful sculpture. But each roll represents one veteran that has taken their life, or ever since, and it goes back, I think, to the Vietnam War. So these are the kind of pieces of work that when you see this piece, this is just something around a different issue, but it's very powerful and helps to understand, like, that servicemen, that we have out there that come back, they have a lot deeper issues when they come back to society, and the rate of suicide among them is much higher than among the general population. So that's just an example of how art can be used to help people to understand a particular issue. The statistics with human trafficking right now, globally, human trafficking is a $150 billion business. If it gives you some perspective, Apple, that was when they declared their Q1 profits for 2015, they declared their profits at 18. So if it gives you an idea of how big this industry is globally, it's massive. It has grown from, if you look at ILO statistics from 2007 through 2015, trafficking went from a $10.4 billion a year business to $150 billion a year business. So that's literally 15% a month as a consistent growth through those years of 1,400 plus percent overall just in the last 8 years. So it's a business that has been built on spiritually and naturally on some horrible principles. And what art can do, and the power of art, is that it can send a message very quickly that can cut through, and it has the ability to connect with people and help them to see something that they didn't see before.
Are there opportunities for other artists, or is it just limited to that 16?
No, it is. There's opportunities for the whole country. If you are an artist out there, what we're doing here is just to help people understand some of what's possible. If you are an artist out there and you are anywhere in the world and you understand this principle, you can take this principle and you can run with it. And you can create, and you can and push. And the thing is, for us, is what Human 2020 is it's an open source platform in that this is that if people understand the principle, take it and run with it. And you can just connect that with this if you want to, or you can run with it on your own. But,
I think we need a DJ down there, and to play songs that a few of us can come up with out here, and then, you know, and then play them, you know, a DJ style. That could be a good way to get a bunch of different voices in there.
Absolutely. There are people that are, I mean, what's incredible is that everybody has something inside of them that also they see that this is, there's a way that that can be expressed towards a solution. So,
I had an idea. I hate to keep interrupting you, but I mean, it's kind of exciting.
No,
I had this idea. I used to be a collage artist. I would put together, like, get a huge thing of board, you know.
Beautiful.
And then I would I've been doing this since I was a little kid, and I've never really considered it a gift until now that I haven't done it in a while. It's like, wait a second, the Lord gave me this gift a long time ago. I used to do whole walls full of different, you know, objects, photos, magazine clippings, you know, just like what collage artists do. And then I went and saw some famous ones, you know, when I was kind of a little bit in the art scene. I'm like, wait a second, I can do that. I naturally do stuff like that. So when I read the opportunity that you had online to raise awareness, I thought collages are the ultimate way. Maybe I'll take half the garage and set up a piece just to drag down there and be able to display it. What do you think? I'm turning this into a thing about me. It's a much bigger issue, folks. I mean, I don't know. It just got me thinking about how I could contribute, and that was exciting.
No, it's powerful, and yeah, I want to encourage you in that for sure. I know that there are things that are going to come up, and people are going to do things that are larger than life, huge pieces of work, sometimes things that may just be even small. But in each part that comes up, it's all pointing towards something similar, which is, one, is for people to have an understanding about the issue. Two, for individuals and groups to engage proactively in solutions towards this end. And the thing that's incredible with this is that what people sometimes find is that, okay, maybe they can't fix this problem in and of themselves, but they have a piece of that puzzle. And if they bring a piece of the puzzle that part of themselves to the solution, that makes a difference. So for example, I recently was talking with some people from Bitcoin, you know, which Bitcoin is, and a couple of the different groups that are out there that use Bitcoin for development work to do projects in Africa and things like that. I mean, the ability and we got into a really good discussion, and actually this is already starting to take some hold already, but is to use that new form of currency as the means to help create access to financial services for people that don't have them, because one of the reasons why a lot of people end up getting trafficked is because of poverty and vulnerability. And so when people are in a difficult situation and make choices they wouldn't want to make otherwise, and then those choices will put them into a situation where they're kind of in that funnel until they get out the other side, and usually they don't make it out the other side. So with something like that, it's the equivalent of putting the ambulance at the top of the hill and being able to create something in places where people didn't have it before, because the technology that's coming out now too is incredible, where people can get access to something. I mean, a smartphone in a lot of countries, you can get one for $50. You can get a data connect for $3. I mean, you can literally have access to something that you never had the chance to before, and you don't even have to be under the thumb of the existing financial services of this world. So the ability, the things that are out there, the opportunities are big. And there's new things coming out even now with law enforcement. People that are genuinely the good guys that are out there. I know sometimes there's a lot of stuff that goes out about the bad people that are involved in things, which there are. But there's good people, honest people, people with good hearts that God has created to enforce justice in this world. And I'm meeting more and more of those as time goes on. And those guys that are out there and some of the tools that are coming up as well, where they're able to use what's there and they're able to coordinate with people that are there, to put the bad guys away, you know, to get them away from being able to harm. And so each piece is coming up. I think our focus right now with Human 2020 is the focus on solutions. The focus is on our individual engagement. What is it that we can do? And looking at solutions that haven't yet been tried. Looking at things that people haven't yet done. Because, you know, there's people that are out there that are doing some good work. But ours is looking at, we really want to get quite cut to the root of it, and do what we can to knock this thing out, you know, to make that impact. And what's incredible right now is how fast, with the time that we're in right now, which is, you know, again, flowing with God, how fast in this time that we're in, things can shift and things can change. And, you know, we are in a different paradigm, and we're transitioning into a different paradigm. So I believe very strongly that this is the right time for something like this. And yeah, as far as the opportunities for artists that are there, absolutely huge opportunities for people to engage and draw both inspiration with that gift that they have, and to put that gift into both a natural as well as even a spiritual part of the solution.
Yeah, I think you may be contacted from this podcast from various people, professionals and otherwise. And so let's get a phone number or a email, or how do they contact you to get involved? Or maybe they just want to make a donation, or just somehow be involved in whatever way they can. So how do they do that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the simplest way would just be to send an email to info@human2020.com, info@human2020.com. That's going to be the simplest general contact that people can send into. As you go to the website, there's different contact portals that are there. And that's just going to be the easiest, the simplest way to start. But from there, my suggestion for people to start with is to begin by doing some awareness and understanding of the issue for themselves. Begin to look into things a bit. Because I think sometimes what happens too is that it's very, very easy for us in a Western society for us to make a contribution to something and just to kind of alleviate our conscience or say, okay, no, well, now we've done something. And I want to encourage people to, before they contribute to something, to first take the time to understand what it is, because sometimes that resource could be put to work in a dozen different ways. And really, in the end, all of us want to make sure that whatever we're doing is going to make the maximum impact. So, there are ways for people to contribute as well, but that, and financially that's there. But I would encourage people to first to build their own awareness around it a bit, do some a little bit of study around the issue first, and also you know, for people that are listening here, I know that there are also people that are ones that seek God, and so with that as well, for them to ask God, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to play a role or play a part? And then, you know, and then respond. And
okay,
them too, I know that respond.
Here's what I'm going to do right now.
Okay.
I'm going to offer a donation on through PayPal, okay? And let's see how I can do that, and then I'm going to log in. That's probably going to say, well, what are we going to donate? Oh, I have to have it. I was going to donate zero to you. Okay, so let's just see if this works. I'm just going to, you know.
Yeah, let's see if that works.
Let's see. Zero is not an option. You have to put in a number bigger than zero. So there's one bigger than zero, and I'm not going to really disclose what I'm donating. I'm just going to start off here. I'm the kind of guy that likes to donate kind of more than once if it's a really good cause, you know, and just kind of gradually. Okay, so here we go. Okay, I just hit the donate button. And I have just made a donation to your Human 2020 project, and I feel pretty darn good about that. To end slavery.
Oh, yeah, no, that's cool. Thank you.
So what I want you to do is tell the audience right now what it. Okay, for a lot of people that don't know that there is slavery in the world today. Miss Dasha, she heard Trisha's phone. You'll have to remove your phone if you want Dasha to be good. She's actually being great. She heard a little sound away over here. Her ears are so huge, I can't tell you how big those ears are. In fact, I'm so fascinated with those ears, I just can't stop looking at them. I've just never seen anything like that. I mean, I've had shepherds myself before. No, it was your phone, Trish, please. I thought you were going to remove the chaos. People don't even think there is slavery.
Yeah, you know, and that is part of it's a traumatic thing for people to even begin to broach that subject, because just because something is not in people's consciousness on a day to day, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. And I think that's why it's very traumatic for people when they start to realize that it does exist. Like, for example, in the U.S. today, the estimates is that there's 200,000 people, Americans, trafficked in America today. So right now in the U.S., that we've got a huge population of people, Americans enslaved inside of America, that are American citizens enslaved in America. And then there's another estimate on the 17,500 non-Americans that are trafficked inside the United States as well a year. So when you've got that population here within the U.S. alone, and then globally 35.8 million people enslaved around the world, I mean, there's more slavery today than there has been in the history of the modern history that we have of this world.
Wow.
So the price point, Zeph, to buy a slave today is between $90 to $100.
You're kidding. Really?
That's the price point to buy a human being.
You can buy a human.
So I'll give you an example.
Okay.
So if you go back in the history of our country, for example, if you go back to what we kind of considered the time of slavery in the U.S., if you were to, like, say, you know, if you were to buy a grade A field hand, which would have been what it would have been called, maybe, I'm just trying to think, time frame, maybe like the 1840s or so, it would have cost you the equivalent of, if you're buying a slave, about $40,000 in modern day money. So when people were buying a slave in older times in the U.S., they were, if you think of it in that terms, they were buying a very expensive capital investment for whatever they were doing, and they treated that person as such. Today, with slavery, the price of a human life being as cheap as, you know, $90 to $100, it's become disposable people, and they've been treated as such. So around the world right now, with the price of human life going that cheap and supply and demand being what it is, now the result of it is the industry has gotten more and more and more evil as time has gone on, and the way that people are related to it's far worse today than at any time in our history because of those dynamics that are also woven in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, so it's cheaper today to buy a slave than it was back in our time of slavery. It's more diverse. It's being done by lots of people. Like, if you're trafficking drugs, you're probably trafficking slaves. American kids get the highest price, don't they, abroad?
I mean, there's certain dynamics that are the thing about, let's say, like drugs, for example. I mean, with drugs, they have to go get a new supply. So, like, you know, they get some, they buy them, they move them through their channels, they distribute them, then they have to do it again. With a person, they can sell that person again and again. And with trafficking, trafficking takes on different pieces. So, for example, with trafficking, what a lot of people think about is they think about the sex trafficking, which is of $150 billion a year industry, $99 billion is sex trafficking related activities. But you still have $51 billion of that are related to labor and to related industries like that. So labor trafficking, slave labor, that's definitely out there. You have organ trafficking, which is out there. You have illegal adoption. You have child soldiers. You've got different aspects to this issue that are also taking place as well. And so this goes down to a lot of ways of even kind of how we live our lives and the kind of things that we engage in, because by our own activities, those will also support that demand cycle of trafficking. So everything from the goods that we buy, services that we use, the media that we reinforce, all of that is going to have an effect.
Right. So.
So there's natural things that we can do as well as we get aware about this issue.
How many children how many children are abducted in the United States every year?
Abducted?
Or taken? Or how?
I think there's a video that we recently put up on the Facebook page that we have that there's several hundred that are abducted daily in the U.S. I can't remember that stat right off the top of my head. I know that within the trafficking situation in America, of the 200,000 that are there, half of those come through the foster care system.
Okay.
So there's a lot of people that are already in vulnerable situations in the U.S. that then get taken further from that.
So the government would be involved because CPS would be involved. Child Protection Services.
And with that too, this is where I think sometimes we have to differentiate between the people that are involved and then the systems themselves. Because sometimes what happens is you just have evil people that get access to a system that turn it and corrupt it. And this is where, too, the individual, we have to take also responsibility of doing what we can to root those things out. Because sometimes what happens is you maybe have just good people that are caught in a bad system or that are forced to turn a blind eye to something. So, there are definitely going to be people that, because they have access, will use that access. But, I think I'm learning too, as I keep going, to respect the individual that's within a place. And because sometimes too, I think there's going to be good people that are in there that are trying to make a difference, but they're caught in a bad system and they don't even know what they can do.
Well, we know in every system, there's good and bad people. There's good and bad cops. There's good and bad senators.
Yeah.
There's good and bad sergeants. There's good and bad doctors, you know. And what makes a person bad is when they go to the dark side, when they become selfish, when they start doing criminality for their own personal gain. And go ahead.
Well, and I think holding the individual accountable is part of what we have to do too, because holding the individual accountable for their actions and not allowing it to be labeled and stuck to this specific organization is going to be an important transition for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens too is that people try to do something under an individual label and then they leave that organization, but they leave the organization with the tarnishing of the activities that they were engaged in while they were there. So, I mean, putting that on the individuals that are the bad ones that are in there, because I think a lot of times too, the evil people are the ones that are really doing the most heinous forms of criminality. they're actually much less in number than we give than we think that they are. But they just make they make it seem like they're such an overwhelming, overpowering force, but they're really not nearly as much as we might think. I think I've used the example before when we talked of just how during the time of colonialism, where the British had India under their thumb, a nation of 1 billion people, with just 3,000 troops. And so with just 3,000 troops in that country, they were able to control a nation of 1 billion people. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of similar principles have been used all over. And they've been used in the States, too. I think right now, you know, we have similar cases here where there are some evil people in positions of power, but they've used certain things to keep control and a lock on people.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're seeing that foil is starting to crack up. And just like, it's just like the Wizard of Oz. You know, you got the toilet pulls back the curtain and you see, they don't want you to pay attention to the man behind the curtain. They want you to look at the big impressive display with fire and the big fence, but they don't want you to actually see that there's just this little guy in the back with some controls.
Right, and that that could easily be stood up to, and easily be overcome.
Absolutely.
And it's just that
absolutely, and
so many people running for the.
And we have to call their bluff.
They run for the closet. They run to get out of the way. They are scared. Then when they see that it's no monster at all, suddenly, everybody jumps on the bandwagon and comes out all at once and says, "Stop this human trafficking. Stop this human slavery,"
absolutely.
Because we don't do that in this society. The government doesn't deal drugs. They don't deal in children. They don't feed the pedophile satanic network of child sacrifice and, you know, I mean, let's face it. A lot of these human trafficking kids are put into porno films. You know, sold on the black market, and there's a big market for that. There's a big market for snuff films, and the FBI is supposed to be catching all that. And, I don't know. Maybe it's just impossible for them because, like you say, the awareness is not there, and they're very powerful people that would prevent law enforcement from doing law enforcement's job. Would you agree with that?
There are definitely people that pull rank and cause people to stand down in particular times. I mean, we've seen that with different things that we've, you know, done, you know, not just with trafficking, but with other areas. So there are going to be people that are in positions of power. This is where, too, left the need for us to work towards critical mass of people that are engaged around this issue. Because it's going to be, the transition that's really going to see a tipping point is when it's not just our voices out here speaking, but when it's the voices of 10,000 other people that are speaking, when it's 100,000 other people that are moving towards something, when it's a critical mass of people that are pushing and even saying to the political channels, you will do this, you are a representative, and you will make this transition, and you will make this change, or you will not be there.
And you will clean it up.
That are showing up.
You will clean it up.
Yes, exactly.
You will enforce
exactly.
The law. You'll interdict on those flights where they take the children out of here and sell them to Saudi Arabia or wherever they go. You'll stop all that.
You will stop all that. And this is where it's not going to be. This is the transition time is now for the people that have been listening to our shows that are out there as well. The time has come for them to stop just listening and to start acting and to start moving on what they know. I mean, they've listened and they've listened for a long time, but now they need to get engaged. They need to get involved. They need to play their role and their part. Because all of us, Jeff, I thought about this the other day. God has us all here at this time for a reason. And instead of us looking at ourselves and, you know, kind of our personal situations, it is important that every one of us looks to the Father and say, okay, God, we are here right now because you, by your divine plan, intended for us to be here at such a time as this. So because we're here, this is obviously because this is your window for us to be here. So what is it that we need to engage in while we're here? Because all of us are transitioning through. We're here for a window and then we're gone. And so in the time that we're here, why not be about our Father's business? Why not be about what He's got for us to do in the earth? I see and I believe with this particular issue, it is going to be when the grassroots and the individual and all of us that care about this, we get engaged, when we get involved, when we make a noise, when we educate our neighbor, when we make that bridge and we push for that transition, that's when we'll see it happen. And it's not enough for people to just hear something or for them to just, we can't live in that place anymore, in that space anymore. We have to take action. Mm-hmm. And because now is the window for us to take action. This is the time. I mean, all of us have been through our things. All of us have been through our struggles. We've all had our heartbreaks and our pain and our different things that have come up. And all of those, God has been with us and has taken us through all of that. But those have not been for without reason and purpose. They've made us strong. They've made us able to stand. We've been able to weather the worst of storms, and we're ready. So now it's time for us to all move forward with what God is doing. But all of us need to do that. It's not just a handful of people that are out there that are broadcasting, that are putting things out. That needs to happen, but that needs to happen, and
now
we all need to get engaged.
Right, because yes, this human absolutely. Trafficking is like, that's what leads to, I think the thing that grieves the Lord the most, obviously, just from, you know, Jesus saying that anyone who, you know, Matthew 18:6, anyone who prevents one of these little ones from coming to me that otherwise would have, or steers them the wrong way, or abuses them. I mean, the whole spirit of what I get out of the word is that it's basically we're here to be good stewards of the earth and to protect the innocent, to protect our children, our families, you know, and those who can't defend themselves. That's part of the work.
Absolutely.
And it seems like this is the biggest thorn in the side of America right now. It's this human trafficking, drug trafficking, weapons trafficking, war brokering, taking both sides of the war, funding ISIS, funding. It's these people that are involved in all this need to know that there's a spotlight on all of it, and they need to stop. Unless they like to see an escalate, what they've tried to do, Govinda, is they've tried to get control of the internet. Obama's grabbed control of the internet, which he doesn't know what to do with, obviously, but just in the hopes that he can stop these voices and this light from breaking in and showing all the evil these people are involved in, because it makes us look awful. It makes America look terrible. We have a horrible reputation around the world now. Horrible. Because of these people in office, these people that do these crimes, and they get elected, and the first thing they do is betray everyone who elected them, throw them down the river, toss them to the curb, and then they go right about the business, as usual, of criminality. And that's got to stop. Period.
Well, and you know the thing is, the tighter the grip that people try to put a grip, the more it slips through their fingers. Because you cannot grasp the light, you cannot grasp the wind, you cannot grasp water. I mean, this is as much as people try to control and to grab and to restrain, this is not, truth cannot be held. Truth is what it is. Light is what it is. It flows as it will. You know, so despite the attempts that are made, when you shift, and you shift in the spirit with what God is doing, those things won't work, and they can't. They won't work because we're not in that time anymore.
No, we're not in that window anymore. I like to say we're not. This is not 1930. This is not 1917. The Bolshevik Revolution. This is not the People's Revolution of China. It's a whole different thing going on.
It's absolutely different. And the thing is that the more that those attempts are made, the harder it's kind of like. I mean, Jeff, you used to surf, so you know about currents and all the rest of those things that happen in the water. Mm-hmm. If somebody gets caught in a current in the ocean, you know, for other your listeners that might not experience this, you can fight against that current, and you can wear yourself out by trying to fight that current. Or you can wait for the opportunity to, and you can flow with that, and then you can find that window to try to swim back in. Mm-hmm. But if you fight that current, you're just going to wear yourself out, because the current's going to be what it is. And it is going to take you where it's going to take you. So right now what's happening is things are shifting, and they're continuing to shift. And either people can flow with what God is doing, or they can fight against that. But the fight against that is just to wear themselves out, just to destroy all their resources, just to destroy themselves, rage against God and win. Mm-hmm. I mean, what man can fight against the and win? Even in scriptures, Gamaliel, when he was advising the council about, he said, look, if these guys, what you consider what you have to try to do to those early disciples. And said, if it's of nothing, then it's just going to come to nothing. But if these guys are actually doing what God has for them to do, you got to find you're fighting against God. And yeah, that's what we're finding out, is that actually that which we're doing, we really are God's people. We really are God's voices. We really are those that know his voice, that have walked with him, that God has put his hand on our lives. And to fight against that which God is doing, to fight against the people of God, is to fight against God himself. And because we are his, we're his representatives in the earth. And we speak truth because that's what God has for us to speak, as an instruction, as a warning, as an admonition, as something to help people to live the maximum life in the time of the earth. So the caution really for those that are the worlders right now is you better make that transition, because it's not going to work to try to go another way, and to go another way is to destroy yourself.
And okay, so this is one of the cutting edge issues, and I guess the rest would be the military industrial complex, but this is part of the military-industrial complex, unfortunately, as we've seen. And it all kind of goes together. And, you know, they're just, I believe there'll be a backlash against it all, like you say, because the light's pouring in into the dark places. Stuff's being exposed about people, names, dates, places, that never was before. Then what we have now is, so the mainstream media is trying to deny reality. For example, you have something like the Hillary Clinton corruption, the Clinton corruption, whatever, machine. Okay, it's, you would do time for hundreds of years with all that, right? I mean, it's just in your face. So what they're trying to do is say, it doesn't matter all the crimes they've committed, she's going to get elected anyway. So now they're trying to say, yeah, you're right, maybe all that exists, but we're not going to report on it. And the same people doing it all are going to stay in power anyway. We don't care what you, the people, have to say.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate, because the thing is, I mean, for her, I felt sorry for her the other day, because I just felt like this is going to be the longest 18 months of her life. I mean, you know, but even with that, with the efforts that those that are trying to influence opinion, it's not working anymore. Because in the middle of all of this, when the truth gets out, and when information is shared that is contrary to what people have been told to believe, that it has an impact. There's something about truth that just cuts through. And even if people don't like it, even if it goes against their worldview, whatever it may be, it still has an impact. Because truth has this ability to hit the mark inside of a person, inside of their own heart, inside of their own soul. And the struggle that the mainstream has right now is that their voice goes out still, but other voices go out too. And in the midst of that as well, the truth gets out and it lands home on people. And it's tough for people, because they're not used to having to deal with that information as well, but now people are forced to actually have to make a decision. Well, they're spoon-fed, and they're spoon-fed the reality. Now they're being given alternative viewpoints, and they're actually having to say, okay, what am I going to do with this? And I see some people cracking up in the middle of all this, which is probably a healthy and good thing, mm-hmm. but I also see some people waking up and, wow, I never saw that before. So I think the mainstream media, what they're doing is they're making themselves obsolete. Right. by grabbing onto a fixed position, taking their orders from their top chain of command, not questioning anything, not standing for what's real and what's good and what's honest. I mean, journalists are supposed to report. You know, they're supposed to put the information out there and help and give people what they need to be informed citizens. That's the role of a journalist. It's not to be a propaganda piece.
Well, they're going to have
They're
going to have a hard time denying the work you're doing. And I know that certain news outlets every once in a while admit the human slavery, but they don't admit the human slavery here. I mean, they'll admit it somewhat in the UK, but they're kind of reluctant to admit Europe and the United States. It's more something that goes on in Asia. It goes on over there somewhere, you know, over there, some down in Africa, some away.
Yeah.
That's what they think. I mean, that's what they try to give you a reality, a false reality that American kids just aren't involved in this. And let's face it, slavery is about kids mainly.
Yeah.
Isn't it about kids mainly?
It's about vulnerable people, and so children are some of the most vulnerable. So yes, there's always going to be a strong push among those that are corrupted to access kids, to destroy innocence. For us, we can talk openly about this because this is something we understand. Is that desire to destroy the innocence is going to be there in something that's this dark and this sinister. So children are a natural representation of the most vulnerable in our society, the most dependent, the ones that are, they just got here and they're looking around and they're subject to the reality that's created for them. So the responsibility that everybody has that's in the earth is to do what they can to protect those innocents, to allow for that life to become a full manifestation of what it was meant to be when it came into the earth, not for it to be destroyed and fractured and corrupted, you know, right from the start, and if it even makes it longer than to even have a life. So we have a responsibility, and that responsibility is something that all of us can take seriously, can say, okay, this is our part and our role to play. And for people that have had tough experiences along the way, like Jesus on the cross, he said, you know, it is finished. It stops with him. You know, with Jesus, when he was on the cross, that was it. That was the definitive moment.
That's it.
And he said, it's finished, and the buck stopped with him. And we can do that in Christ. Is we can say, it's finished, and it stops with us. And even whatever's been the past, no longer.
Right.
Whatever's been the history of something, no longer. It stops with us.
Part of the return of Christ, in my view, is this whole thing that's going on now, in a way, you know, because it's kind of the big cosmic cleaner-upper, right? So the pendulum is swinging the other way,
yeah.
And if you want to be a force for good out there, you can go to Human 2020. Here's a no-brainer. Here's something that you can get involved in that's maybe right up your alley. You can even get involved as an artist. You can get involved as a sponsor, which, you know, I recommend. I'm now a sponsor. You can take any, you may have your own creative idea on what kind of actions you'd want to take, and you can do that. It's human2020.com. That's human, H-U-M-A-N, 2020.com. End human slavery by 2020. And I would predict, Govinda, if you can end human slavery by 2020, a lot of other things are ended as well by 2020, right? Along with this.
You know, I absolutely. I mean, the thing is right now is that here it is. I mean, that global pledge was made, you know, out there, and it was put out there. So for us, we're going to run this parallel. And we, you know, for us, if we've done our part, and if we, part of what's necessary, is that we just show up, is that we put ourselves out there. We say, okay, Lord, we're here, we're available. Whatever it is that you have, whatever it is that you want, we make ourselves available for the will, the plan, and the purpose of God. And that's what we do. And when we put ourselves out there like that, and we are willing to take that step and to see what God does, that's when we see God show up. And I've seen it again and again and again. You know, just recently somebody sent me a video from which was just like from about 6 years back towards the close of the Civil War in Sri Lanka, and at the time, you know, we were you know in dropping off medical supplies at the close of the war inside the war zone, and it was just incredible, you know, like in the middle of a situation like that where God would have you know us at that time, and that's like a whole different life at this point, and yet. It's part of what God is doing. And all we have to do is just make ourselves available to Him. He's the one that does the work through us. Mm-hmm. And so this is where we have to take that pressure off of ourselves. It's not ours to try to be doing for God. It's ours to flow with what He's doing and just to let Him take those efforts, those energies, and He's going to quicken them. He's going to empower them. He's going to put everything that you need in your hand to do whatever it is that any of us have been called to do. So,
well,
I mean, right now,
this is what's up. The human2020.com, the End Slavery Initiative, started by Govinda and company, and it's there's other kind of organizations involved too that you're involved with. I know they were there first, then you got this going, now you're interacting with it. So it's a growing movement of organizations interlocking to produce this effect of ending this slavery. There's nothing worse than this.
But in the end, I think for me personally, I think of all the things that I've seen that the enemy that the enemy's put out there, human trafficking is the darkest thing that here exists on this planet that we live on right now. So if we are going to make an impact, if we are going to work to destroy the very roots of the enemy, then let's go for the jugular. Let's go for that thing that the enemy does that is as dark and as corrupted as possible, and let's knock that one out. Because for us, you know, in this, I mean, the other part of it too is that every time that that people are destroyed by something like this, it impacts all of us. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that, you know, in scriptures it talks about how, you know, that we are the body and how, you know, when one part suffers, all of us suffer. And so when other people are impacted by something like this, it has an effect. It has an effect. I believe it's had an effect on this country, on America. It's had a powerful effect on this nation, and it's had an effect on the soul of this nation. And this is part of the part for us where there's a way back. See, I believe too that as long as we have breath in our body, that there's hope. You know, as long as there's breath, as long as we are breathing and we're here on this earth, we're still part of this paradigm. There's something that can be done. And so as long as we can draw that next breath, we're still on this field. And we're still here being able to play. You know, we're still on the field of play, and we're still able to be engaged in what's taking place. So, you know, as long as I can still keep swinging, let's swing. You know, it used to be kind of like, okay, let's go down, you know, with a fight. But I transitioned from that. Now God has put our feet under us. You know, we are still here. Every one of us that's listening, we're still here, and God has made us strong, and we are in the transition period. So, yeah, absolutely. This is something, but I believe that this is going to be one of a number of things that God is doing in this time, and it's going to make an impact, just like each of us are going to make an impact, because God still has us here for such a time as this.
Exactly. All right. Well, I think we put it out there. Human 2020. I'll keep the links. I did a little video here, and there'll be links. There'll be links to that. Although, you know, it right now, it's human2020.com. It's a chance. A lot of people say, "Well, I don't have a ministry opportunity. I'm looking for some opportunity. I don't want to get involved in some corrupt thing." Okay. So here you go. Here's an opportunity to serve the Lord, to serve your God, to serve the God, the Creator. Here's your opportunity to do something selflessly in the world and to eradicate a tremendous evil be a part of a team that's doing that. And they're very serious, and they're getting the job done, and I predict they will get it done. So here you go. This is great. And I'm going to end this video right here.
Let's make one more quick thing with that, too. Something that people can do that's very, very simple, and they don't even have to connect with us if they don't want to, but there's something very simple, and we're going to even do that today, is that 20 on 20, which is something that...
Hey, today's the 20th.
For every person that... It's the 20th.
It is the 20th today.
And so what we're going...
Okay, sorry.
It's the 20th today. And so one thing that's out there is that for whatever background people have, you know, whatever background that you have and that you know.
However you perceive God.
Take 20 minutes.
Yeah, however you pray.
Take 20 minutes on the 20th of every month to take that faith and that understanding that you have and to spend time. If you pray, pray. If you meditate, meditate. Whatever it is that you do. But take that time and direct that focus towards seeking God, how you know, and for a solution and for an end to human trafficking in this life and in this world. And I tell you guys out there, if you take this serious and you make a commitment to doing that, it is going to have an impact, and you are going to see that impact yourself
It's 20 on 20.
To work and at least... 20 on 20. On the 20th of every month, mark it down on your calendar. 20 minutes on the 20th of every month. You can do it as an individual. You can get together with groups. You can do it digitally. But however you do it, spend 20 minutes on the 20th of every month and make that commitment. And do that. If you say that there's nothing that you can do, well, you can at least do that. So if nothing else, if you don't have a resource, if you don't have an idea, if you don't have... whatever it is that you don't think you have, listen, the thing, a very simple principle that God has showed me a long time ago was God doesn't focus on what we don't have, he focuses on what we have. And we all have 20 minutes on the 20th of every month that we can set aside and put to work, and we can put our faith to work in this area. So even start with something like that and put that to work and watch what God does.
Here's what I like to do. I like to ask the Lord what's up, and then on an issue like this, I may be quiet for 20 minutes and just listen.
Yeah.
And put my mind and my focus on, okay, Lord, here's the 2020, the Human 2020 Project. Here I am with my 20 minutes on the 20th, 20 on 20. Every 20th, 20 minutes. I'll do whatever you want me to do for 20 minutes. You want me to sit in quiet? You want me to speak a prayer?
Absolutely.
You want me to read a scripture? Whatever you want me to do in that 20, this 20 minutes goes to this project. And Lord, I seek you. And however you want me to serve in this capacity, this 20 minutes, whatever you want me to do, I'm here with my attention focused on it. I can just meditate on you and the word and whatever you want. I pray right now for healing for this horrible breach, the horrible corruption that people that others looked up to. Here's what's really the irk thing right now, the one we've got to pray for. We're going to do this in a separate session. But
yes,
it's because people with heretofore good reputations have been seen in this light as perpetrators in this regard. You know, corrupt rulers. What does Psalm 2 say about that? I'm led to Psalm 2 right now, Govinda. That's kind of where I'm going. So that's maybe what...
Yeah.
Maybe we'll go there for that 20 minutes. Anyway, folks, we're going to... Govinda and I are going to close this pod down. You know about the project. We're going to pray for 20 minutes. However, Govinda and I are going to pray together. However, that's going to... Whatever's going to happen, we're going to give it 20. I'm going to have to set my watch. It doesn't have to exactly be 20. It's 20.
No. Do that. And beautiful. And if you have it, however is that you're inspired to or led to go about it.
Yeah.
Do that. But the key is to make a commitment. It's not even about this project. It's about putting this before God and making right. that a priority, knowing that there are others that are out there that are doing the exact same thing. There are people all over the world that are doing the exact same thing, and they are petitioning God. They are getting serious with God. And what they're doing is they're saying, okay, God, we are serious. Let's see this done. And we are coming to you because you are the one with the answers. You are the creator. You are the one that inspires. You are the one that if you can take the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of a strong bondage where they had no hope and no resource, and you can do this for us, and you can do this above and beyond anything that we can ask or think.
Just shut it down.
We are coming together as a body, and we are asking for you to shut it down. It doesn't have to be until 2020. Shut it down in 2016. Shut it down now.
Shut it down yesterday. Shut it down.
We are coming forward.
Throw the bums in jail, and if they've tarnished their reputation beyond repair, we need to know that, and they need to step down now. Okay. Govinda. Let's do this now because I want to get on to this prayer. We're going to go pray. Folks, you do the same thing right now when you hear this podcast. I'll try to get it up immediately upon its close. Go to Govinda's website. It's faithmix.com, faithmix.com. He also offers words like we do here at the Zeph Report, and they're all very interesting to me when I hear them because it's almost like I'm talking to myself. So, you know, it's been very interesting. And we have had no, it's not a collusion. People think, have you guys been talking? No, we haven't. It's really just a miracle. Okay, this is Zeph Daniel and Govinda, and we will see you on the flip side on the next show. We're going to pray. It's 20 on 20. 20 on 20. 20 on 20. 20 on 20.